has been the Patriot Act.
And independent thinking, Emily.
Well, not so independent. I agree with pretty much everyone else. I think that the Bush administration, they took a lot of money to increase federal bureaucracy, haven't funneled any of it down to local economies to fund the security measures, and they've taken a lot of the first responders out and put them in the war in Iraq.
Republican Jim Homily.
Okay, time for a fact check, folks. Federal spending is the highest, and I don't like this at all, but federal spending is the absolute highest it's ever been in the history of this country. State spending is the highest it's ever been in the history of this country. Local spending is the highest. We are looking at huge, massive budgets. There are areas that are turning back security funds because they haven't figured out how to spend them, because there are some rules when you have to spend this sort of money. So the money is flowing like absolutely crazy, and that money is not the problem. High taxes are the problem.
Okay, let's go to Waldorf, Maryland, and Daryl's on the line. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning. I'd like to make a quick point about something that seems as though it's been forgotten by a lot of Americans, and that's the American troops over in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
You have a major problem. I'm a former Marine myself.
Uh-huh.
We have a major problem with troop morale over there. We have our officers walking around here in America. They have Kevlar vests on that protects them from, you know, firearms and other dangerous materials that might come in contact with them. But our troops walk around with these flak jackets on that all they do is slow down a bullet. When is the American people, what are we going to do to protect our troops over there?
And
we have convies that's not protecting our, when are we going to do to protect our troops?
Okay. Answers, panel?
Well, they're working on getting the production lines going even faster. And the fact remains that our troops today are currently better protected than any troops have ever been.
Not when you have two troops being knocked off a day. We have two this morning that killed.
I think it's a valid question. I've often wondered that myself. I mean, I see places where they're having, like, fundraisers to buy bulletproof vests for soldiers and stuff, you know, from the citizenry. It just seems to me like that should be, you know, we're spending billions and billions of dollars on the Department of Defense. Why can't they afford bulletproof vests for soldiers?
Emily.
Well, it seems this is just another example of poor planning by the Bush administration when it comes to war in Iraq.
Once again, it's a different kind of war altogether. This is a war against terror. It's not a geographical war. And the systems that are in place are to fight a war that's geographically based. So I think that the shift over to new techniques and implementation has been slow.
What's new about a technique there? What I think Daryl is asking, why can't we have a bait? They had... didn't they have bulletproof vests in Vietnam and World War II?
Well, but these are better and more expensive, and it takes the production lines. You simply didn't have a need for this many before.
I thought we were the number one nation. Shouldn't we be prepared with that?
Oh, we are.
We've got to wait till our
planes. It took us a couple of years during World War II to get the planes built. I mean,
we can't just snap your fingers until we have what we needed.
Well, I know you would have liked to have left Saddam in there for another year or two, but we had to go in and get him, and we did.
And we got him, and what's changed?
We still killed
what
soldiers.
What has changed in Iraq?
Yes. What has changed since we captured Saddam Hussein?
Since we went to Iraq, a dictator is gone. People have been freed, and terrorists are on the run.
We're talking semantics, Jim. What physically has changed? People are still dying and starving.
I guess
Saddam Hussein being in charge of Iraq didn't bother you, but it certainly bothered the hundreds of thousands of people he was killing.
And it bothers the hundreds and thousands of people who are dying today.
Who's dying? Hundreds of thousands of people are
Iraqis
dying in Iraq today.
Iraqis are dying. Afghanis are dying. Americans are dying.
When's it going to be enough? Terrorists are dying, and Americans are fighting.
Excuse me, Mr. Jim and Miss Emily. We can all sing together, but I don't know what the heck you're talking about when you talk together. Thank you very much, Daryl.
Sure.
Three old ones. He didn't feed that cool, did he?
Sure.
I like that. That was cool. That was so cool. 301-230-0980, pound 980, the Verizon Wireless System here on our first Sunday debate here on Metro Talk from Clear Channel Radio in Washington, Big 100 and Sports Talk 980. I'm Jerry Phillips, and we're talking with Jim Pomeli, Emily Leffler, along with Nicholas Sawalk, Patrice McKinney, and Eric Mickelson. Get online now. We have lines open at 301-230-0980, pound 980 on Verizon. Please don't wait 15 minutes from now because we go off the air. Get online now so you can get your word in. Nick?
I have to agree with Daryl that we need to make sure that our troops are properly equipped. But an interesting point to make is that one of the reasons why we probably don't have enough bulletproof vests is that in Iraq we're not really fighting a war. We're policing and occupying a country. And so we have troops driving around saying, look, I'm a target, look, I'm a target, look, I'm a target. And this is one of the reasons why I'm still of the opinion that we need to get out of Iraq as quickly as possible. If you really want to support the troops, bring them home.
Point well taken. Point well taken. 301-230-0980, pound 980 on the Verizon wireless system. We have lines open as we talk this morning about various issues. We've gone from the D.C. primary to Code Orange, and now we're into about the troops protection in Iraq. And thanks to Darrell for putting it on our agenda. We have Ed and Laurel. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, my friend.
And a Happy New Year to you.
And a Happy New Year to you and your family.
Okay, thanks very much. Hey, I got a slight problem, too. I agree with some of what's going on, you know. Let's bring our troops home.
Ed, turn your radio down a little bit because we got a little feed.
Okay. Let's bring our troops home. And when is the United States going to start saying no to these foreign countries? And, hey, it's your problem. We don't want to get involved in it. We're getting our people killed. We can't take care of our own people sitting here on the streets. We got homeless people. Where's all this money going, tax money and everything? Is Congress taking it and spending it? Don't have to spend the money. Our number one priority is to get these troops home, give them better pay and better benefits, and hell with the other countries.
Okay, don't leave me, Ed. Hang on the phone. Let's tie it with Bruce on his cell phone. Bruce, where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Northern Maryland, Harford County, Maryland. How are you?
Sounds good. Ed's on the phone. You've heard the palace. Go right ahead.
Well, I was flipped to the station, and I just wanted to respond to something, and I don't even know what her name the woman said, and that was what has changed since Saddam Hussein has been pushed from power. I was there. I'm in the Marine Corps. I was in Iraq for 5 months. I returned home in September. And I can tell you firsthand that the children over there smile more. I can tell you that adults of small children, the parents of small children, one of which came up to me in Baghdad and said, thank you. I want to thank you because now my children don't have to grow up in fear. They can be free. So whoever said what has changed since Saddam left, that's what's changed. People are free, and they thank us for it. That feels good.
Okay. Ed, respond.
Well, you know, there is good things doing, but what's costing us? We're costing, like you said, 2-3 people a day, you know. The U.S. is going to have to say, hey, enough is enough. You started this problem. It's been going on and on and on. We come over here to help you, people. Next thing you know, you're stabbing us in the back. You know, this stuff's got to stop. We can't take care of our own people here.
No, there's no Iraqis stabbing us in the back. There are terrorists out there. This is a war on terrorism. You and your liberal little buddies. Bill Clinton could have stopped this, but he didn't. George Bush had the guts to do it. And I thank him and I praise him for it. One of my buddies was killed, yes, and that sucks. But he died dying for freedom. That's the beautiful thing about Americans and American soldiers is that we value freedom and democracy so much that we're willing to die for other people in order for them to have.
I know we're willing to die. I spent I don't know how many years in Vietnam. There's 52,000 people on that wall down there that shouldn't have been down there because no one wanted to do anything.
And who was to thank for that? Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Yeah, that's right. Both
not
parties.
Republican.
So, you know, it's Democrat and Republican. You know, you can't win. You know, get somebody here who's not afraid to say no to some of these foreign countries.
Thank you, my dear brothers and my dear friends, very much.
Right.
Bruce, have a good one.
Thanks.
Okay, Ed, you take care.
You too.
Okay, guys. Nice little debate from people out in the streets. Ed and Laurel and Bruce on his cell phone up in northern part of Maryland, and, you know, they're opposing points of view, but at least we communicate. That's what I like to say. Eric Mickelson.
Just a couple of things. I appreciate the perspective of both those veterans. As far as it being a liberal or democratic thing, I mean, it was Johnson and Nixon were both responsible for Vietnam, and it was George Bush the elder who didn't get rid of Saddam the first time. And so I think a lot of us, none of the people who opposed the war that I've met actually were in favor of keeping Saddam in place, like Jim likes to say, or anything like that. It was a question of the means used to get to that end, and we believe that those were unjust.
Glenn in Silver Spring, good morning.
Good morning. I also appreciate the veterans calling. I'm not a veteran myself, but they certainly have been making us proud citizens. I am in Washington, D.C., and have somewhat a good view of the security issues, being a building engineer. Because I, you know, I was there through 9/11 and
right.
All the preparations. And I got to tell you, you know, no matter we're worried about, you know, someone coming in buildings and setting off, you know, dirty bombs and all this. It's like drugs. You have to stop things outside the country. And, you know, they have signs on 95, report suspicious activity. It's really ridiculous.
Okay, thank you very much, Glenn. Let's talk
You're
to
welcome.
Kathy. Let's talk to Kathy in Ruskin, Virginia. Well, good morning, Kathy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Hi. I'd just like to lighten this up just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say, towards the media,
mm-hmm.
I wish that they would quit calling Dulles a Washington airport, as it is not in Washington. It is in Virginia. Simple as that.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year. Dan in D.C., how you doing?
How are you?
Fine. Go right ahead.
Good. Yeah, I was responding to, I believe it was Ms. Leffler's comment about what has changed in Iraq. I mean, I don't think I've heard a more idiotic comment this year. Granted, it is the new year, but what has changed in Iraq? Why don't you open a paper someday there, Emily, and try and stray a little bit from your ideological values of so anti-war that you can't see straight. Let's face it. What has changed? There's a totalitarian ruler that is now gone. You're going to have free elections there. You're going to have a free people. You're going to have people that aren't going to be getting their tongues cut out when they talk against the government. You're going to have two sons of the same dictator who won't be raping, pillaging, torturing athletes, women throughout the country. So that's what's changed, and you need to open up a little bit and realize you were wrong when you said no to the Iraqi war. It has changed for the better, and these people finally have hope. Good luck to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Dan. Thanks. Emily.
Happy New Year to you, Dan, and thanks for calling in. You know, I appreciate your point of view, but I'd like to say, first of all, what has changed, A, since we've been spending hundreds of billions of dollars to be in Iraq, and tens of thousands of Iraqis have died, and hundreds of Americans have died. In fact, more Americans that died in the first Gulf War, and we didn't solve anything then. Certainly, Saddam Hussein committed a ton of atrocities. And we're not, this isn't a black and white situation. This isn't Saddam Hussein or George Bush. There are other solutions. For example, having some international involvement in this, having some Iraqi involvement. Right now, we're not looking at a democratic solution to Iraq. We're looking at a situation of having appointed leaders. They're not even discussing, the Bush administration and the Provisional Authority doesn't even want to discuss having elections because it's all about the United States maintaining control in an oil-rich country. That's it.
Brian in Woodbridge, save the day. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Brian. Go right ahead.
I just can't believe, I guess it's Emily, just made the most ridiculous comment. I was going to comment on something else she said, but she said that in the first Gulf War, nothing was changed or nothing was solved. Maybe she should look around and ask the Kuwaiti people and the U.S. and the coalition expelled the Iraqis from Kuwait and liberated that country. The goal was never to go into Iraq and take out Saddam Hussein. I can't believe that she's even on the radio commenting. But then again, this is America, and everybody has their opinion.
There you go. This is America. You have a right. You have a right to your opinion, Brian.
And a lot of good people have died for her to express her opinion. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to Ron on the cell phone. Good morning, Ron.
Yeah, on the comments that have been made, George Bush is in a lose-lose position. If he doesn't do the terror alerts and something happens, he's going to be blamed. Given the terror alerts, something's blamed. Democrats can't have it both ways. When George Bush Sr. went to Iraq, he did exactly what the U.N. mandate said, got Saddam out of Iraq. And people are still complaining about that. So no matter what he does, he's losing. And as far as the troops dying, that's what we do. That's what we're proud of doing. We're willing to sacrifice our lives for the freedom. That's what makes America great. And it hurts me sometimes that we put our lives on the line so people can make really ignorant remarks like that.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. We are talking about politics this morning in our first Sunday debate, and we have with us Nicholas Sawalk, Jim Pomeroy, Emily Leffler, Patrice McKinney, and Eric Mickelson. Now, Emily, I'll come back to you and let you talk for about 10 seconds.
Well, I seem to have raised the ire of the masses, but You know, this isn't about, we seem to be forgetting that what we're doing in Iraq is not about the freedom of Americans. We've gone in there under the pretense that this is a reaction to 9/11 when we have absolutely no intelligence that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11. We're still fighting a fruitless war in Afghanistan and have not even found any of the folks that have perpetrated the crimes against America. I'm all for protecting American freedoms, but let's actually bring that back home and stop worrying about everybody else.
Okay, guys, this is the election year. Let's open this program with, or this segment with, on Metro Talk, the fact that this is a very, very important year, as we well know, the presidential election. The Democrats, they've been doing all kinds of shows, from Saturday Night Live to talk shows. Tonight they have a big debate in Iowa. They've appeared on every television network, and you name it. But the fact is that all of them are now turning to Mr. Dean. And Patrice McKinney, I'm turning to you, the Democrat on our panel, because you've been a big Dean supporter. The Dean train, will it run a problem before convention time? And can he really beat George Bush?
Thank you, Jerry. This is one of my favorite topics, as you know.
I figured that.
We're in the ninth inning of the primary here.
Right.
And we've got Howard Dean solidly in the lead. But as we all know, in the ninth inning, anything can happen.
But are the Democrats united over Dean? Are they really united behind this man?
Well, I think there's been a lot of controversy, of course, because we have a situation where Howard Dean is actually changing the Democratic Party. He's brought a lot of people back into the party that were formerly disenfranchised. For example, we've got Generation Dean. This is one of the most incredible phenomena. 22,000 people signed up on Gen Dean. These are college-age folks that previously were not involved in the political process for the most part. We've brought them in. That's changing the face of the Democratic
Party. So let me end. We have about 2 minutes. Let's go around round robin on the panel. Howard Dean, right? He is the front runner of the Democratic Party. The question is, can he do something to change the White House? And I'll start first with my good friend from the libertarian side of point of view, Nicholas Sawalk. Quickly, Nick.
He's already doing something by bringing issues into the debate that haven't been in the debate, like bringing our troops home from Iraq.
All right. Eric Mickelson, Green Party.
I agree. I think that he's brought a lot of issues to the forefront that the Democratic Party just hasn't been talking about.
Emily Lefley, Independent.
Well, regardless of whether he has the support of the Democratic Party, he's a voice for folks with ridiculous opinions who don't agree with George Bush. And there's
Jim Pomeroy, Republican.
The Democrats ran this campaign before. It was George McGovern's campaign, and it's going to happen again.
And I'll give you the last word, since we're talking about the Dean, none other than Patrice McKinney, Democrat.
Absolutely. And electability, he's got it. Dean is trailing Bush only maybe by 20%. And that is a very good percentage, given the fact that Bush is an incumbent president in the year in which we have a war.
Hey, guys, wish you the very best for New Year. Thank you very much. We'll be back next month.
Thank you,
with
Barry.
Our first Sunday debate. Certainly want to thank Nicholas Sawalk, Jim Pomeroy, Emily Leffler, Patrice McKinney, and Eric Nicholson. Thank you to those who helped to put it together. Steve Solomon, our technical producer, public affairs administrator, is Carolina Restrepo. Shaheen, our public affairs assistant, written and produced by yours truly, Jerry Phillips. Metro Talk is a Clear Channel radio public affairs presentation. Till next time, enjoy a new year. Do more for 2004. Much peace, much love.